people in WordPress would use the epoch, but with a time zone offset on the seconds since January 1st, 1970 UTC, with time zone offset. Why? Like, that defeats the purpose of having like this single number we can look at. And it's so dramatically different than any other date timestamp. When you look at it, you go, oh, if this is a date and it's just like a series of integers, I know that it's Unix epoch, seconds since Unix epoch. And anyway, here we are. Welcome to Binary Jazz. Time gets the best of us in the end. It's just how it always works.
And time is hard.
Oh God, time is fucking miserable. Time's fucking miserable. But it's Monday, arbitrarily.
Is it?
Yep. And it's morning for some of us and afternoon for some of us. There's only three of us here, so I don't know how that works. There's somebody that's in two time zones.
It's Friday if our listeners are listening.
Oh, crap.
And we hope our listeners do listen. Although it could be any day, really, because that's just the day that the podcast is released. Right. That's a pretty hefty assumption, actually, that people are downloading and listening to the episode the day it comes out.
I think they might.
If they're here, they've liked and subscribed, which is all we ask.
Go to binary. And leave a review on iTunes and whatever.
Send us your Russian spam. Are we blocking Russian spam now? Or are we? Is that? Where do we come down on that?
I haven't done anything different. We did get some Russian spam. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. MyNinjaSlime.ru.
Well, okay. I guess we're reading it on the
what? End. What? I mean.
Answers that question, doesn't it? I'm sorry. Did you say my ninja slime?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm almost mad that I don't have that domain.
Yep, that's the one. My ninja slime. I'm just curious. I'm going to translate. Yes.
What a lovely game. We were playing the other night with the kids, and the word was like simple or simply or something like that. And we actually had like a card version to help with kids instead of writing down your words. And it's great. Anyway, somebody played lobsters, so simply lobsters. And I was like, I bet that domain exists. It doesn't, but there's a company called Simply Lobsters. So if you need lobsters, don't go to simplylobsters.com, but Google Simply Lobsters and go to their Facebook page, because
I made a website in the
2000s, and that's how you find businesses around the world now.
I made a website.
Meta, not Facebook, Meta.
Back in when I was freelancing for some East Coast food company that specialized, but like they sold like, it was like a distributor of like clam chowder and like lobster bisque and all that sort of seafoody stuff. I don't remember what they're called, but I do remember using the font lobster.
Smart.
How could you not? I mean, literally, how could you not?
It turns out that my ninja slime has something to do with land surveying projects.
Yeah, naturally. Obviously. What else? What else would it?
If you go to Eastern Canada or like Halifax in this case, they have like in the airport, they have a big like lobster tank, and you can get a lobster and like carry it on with you on the plane.
Wait, what?
Because they're known for lobster, right? So like it's like a thing, but like they give you this, they basically like you pick the lobster and then they put it in like this cardboard case for you. So it's like very fresh. But I was kidding that we should just get a pet lobster.
Do they make good pets?
I don't know, because I was vetoed on the idea of us carrying a lobster home.
Oh, I would guess that they would probably not be overly happy living in a tank for their entire life.
No.
Well, they'd probably be happier doing that than they would be as dinner.
It's fair. I don't think
anyone's happy when they get stuffed into the overhead compartment. So
is that they go in the cabin?
Yeah.
Oh.
Now I want a really crappy Netflix documentary about like a lobster. Like reality show, someone that like trains lobsters. Yeah, I do. What did we watch recently? I started watching the Bruise Brothers on Netflix, which I will recommend you avoid. I had a lot of nights to like.
Always appreciate a non-recommendation.
Wait, the Blues Brothers? Like the original? Oh.
Bruise. B-R-U-S-E. I think it's something like that. In any case, don't bother looking for it. It's dumb. I was excited. I'm like, oh, here's a comedy show about craft beer industry I worked in. I might find some humor in it. Nope. It's just raunchy, terrible, like wiener jokes, pretty much.
My new thing.
What you're looking for.
My new thing that I've been watching a lot of recently, partially because I've moved on to from like Critical Role and other D&D podcasts to Dimension 20, which is the D&D podcast that's done by College Humor.
Yeah, why have you moved on? Because there's
because I finished things.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there's still Critical Role. I'm not fully caught up on season 3, but I'm watching that with Aaron. So for other things, So Dimension 20. So I've been watching. So then, you know, obviously because I'm watching something on College Humor, YouTube wants to recommend other College Humor things. So I've been watching, and then I've subjected Aaron to this. They have a series, I guess, called Breaking News Network. And the premise is that there is a teleprompter and they don't know what is on the teleprompter before they read it, and they cannot laugh or smile. So the whole thing is just like ridiculous fake news, like just ridiculous stuff to try to get them to laugh as much as possible. And then they give an award to the person who broke the most times at the end. So that is the thing that I've been watching a lot of recently. It's pretty good.
We watched a show called Hyperdrive that was pretty cool, where people from all over the world bring their cars and drive like a race course, but like they drift and stuff, and it was entertainment for 6 or 10 episodes. I don't know.
That's all we're looking for. Entertainment.
Yeah, nothing substantial there. Mindless.
Aaron's also found this YouTube channel that called Man Shorts, and they do D&D like fake D&D skits that are like themed. So like they'll have Dungeons and Dragons the Gangsta Edition, and Dungeons and Dragons the Canada Edition, and Dungeons and Dragons the like whatever, like, you know, Mall Edition, and they're pretty. They're pretty good. The amazing thing about those is how many of them there are. I mean, they're like five or 10 minutes maybe max, but like there's just so many.
That's the beast of YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, YouTube. I've been watching a lot of Gotham Chess on YouTube. Levy Rosman does like chess videos, and they're he's really gifted at what he does. It's wonderful. He makes it exciting and fun. And if I were to ever do like coding content of some sort, I would use him as a model for how I would approach it. Because it's encouraging, but also like sometimes just like, this is bad and here's why. And that's okay too. It's important. It's fun.
I noticed that you haven't gotten your Atlantis poster framed.
No, but now I know where the frame place is. So little by little.
As long as there's still baby steps happening.
They are. I was even thinking like, wow, Monday I could roll it up and go in and be like, hey, I need this frame. But then I was like, oh, but I have to measure the thing it's going over top of. That's too big of a bite to take at once.
Yeah.
I'll get there. Or maybe not. I probably will. I actually have no idea what to expect as far as like a quote either price-wise.
Depends on if it's a custom size or if it's just a normal frame size.
Yeah. I don't know what normal sizes are.
Yeah, I had a custom frame done a while ago. I did one of those things, you know, those stupid Instagram ads that are like highly relevant.
Nope.
One of them was like, get a star chart of like a particular date of like in a particular location. So I got that for basically the party, the night of the party when Aaron and I essentially hooked up and was the what led to like our future relationship.
You're now 20 years.
Yeah. That would have been that would have been 20, like that would have been 21 and a half years ago. Because we were together for a year before we got married.
What is time?
Yeah, time. typically the way the show works is that Allison has a topic and Gary and I don't know anything about the topic, and then we talk about it until we know what the topic is, and until Zoom cuts us off. Do we have a topic today?
We do have a topic today. We might have. It's on my list, but I have this weird little note, like scribble next to it. So I don't know if the scribble means you use this already or.
There's only one way to find out.
So we're bringing it to the table because I have no idea, and it seems like a good topic.
How disappointing will it be if you bring it to the table and we're like, oh, we have done that, but we have no idea what it means.
We still don't know. Yeah, that's also fine.
Oh, yeah, sure. From where you're sitting, that's fine. I'm only a little stressed right now.
So the topic is Vermilion Border.
Vermilion?
No, we have not done that. I can say that with confidence, and I hope that I'm not wrong.
I did a quick Google, and it didn't seem to come up with the episode. So
just found a Russian website, which, in hindsight, perhaps we should have read those messages a lot more closely. Could have seen what was coming. Vermilion border. Vermilion, I believe, is a texture, right? Like a fabric texture?
Or a color.
What really? Color is vermilion?
Green?
Wow, the confidence. So like, what's something that's, what would you, like something that you're like, look at that vermilion thing.
The vermilion toad? Vermilion frog?
Interesting. I love that those are the green things that you're naming.
Well, I mean, like the inside. I guess frog is better than toad because toads are typically like larger and like more browner. Like sort of yeah browner, and frogs come in a wide variety of colors, including like neon green. So like it could be like there's a much wider range of greens to hit with a vermilion frog.
We don't have tree frogs here.
There's probably a lot of things you don't have, Gary, in North Carolina. As
alligators, but I don't miss them as much. But the tree frogs that used to like park on the window, you know, and I miss those.
You'll have to find the other animals that are.
Oh, we have plenty more. Yeah. There are so many birds here. So many birds.
I mean, not to say that there weren't birds in Florida. I'm sure that there were lots of birds in Florida.
There were lots of birds in Florida. I believe there are more birds here. But
it probably depends on where you go.
Yeah, I'm sure that there are a lot of birds in Florida.
And so a vermilion border is a green border. It is a border that you can cross because there is a treaty in place that allows for open borders.
Is that
If it was a crimson border, you would not be allowed to cross. They would stop you at the border.
Oh, it's French. It's French for green. Yeah, that's helpful.
You looked it up?
No, I didn't look it up. I was just totally trusting you. I can't wait to find out that it has absolutely nothing to do with color.
Vermilion.
I believe it's like a rough satin texture.
Just so I know that I spelled it correctly.
Yeah,
vermilion is V-E-R-M-I-L-L-I-O-N.
Yeah, it can either be spelled with two L's or one L.
Oh.
Like, that changes a lot about how you
wow,
approach it.
Wow, that was resounding.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, we both were like, oh, but.
And border is B-O-R-D-E-R.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It'd be, that would be funny if that was the red herring where I'm like, haha, they'll never guess. It's B-O-A-R-D-E-R.
Border. It's a border. It's a green person living in a hostel.
Yeah.
The Vermilion Border. It's actually, that's actually the name of a 1952 movie starring, you know, Martin Cusack. John Cusack's estranged father.
Gary's on board.
It's the Vermilion it, sure. Border. It's actually sort of like a film noir, hard boiled detective.
Love that.
About a Russian spy, as it turns out.
Jeez. I was sort of, we had a family thing, and so it sort of prevented us from recording last week, and anyway, everybody's reunited on Friday. And so usually I cook on Sunday, but I was like still recovering from the mayhem of a week and a half of not having Rhonda here. And like, I'm just not up for it. So I got one of those enormous, like family size mac and cheese things that you put in the oven. I don't know what family they expect to feed with that.
Or not enough?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I was like, too much?
Because okay. It could go either way.
A third of it.
Family devoured it within minutes.
No. Like, we ate a third of it. And it, I mean, it's like pounds of mac and cheese. Jeez.
Did you just have that, or did you, like, put something else with it?
No, I also did, like, a broccoli casserole. So okay. Super fancy there. More cheese. Breadcrumbs.
Sounds delicious. I'm all in on this comfort food.
And then Rhonda and I also had salad because. And but yeah, I don't remember. I mean, I don't remember what this thing cost. It was not that much. I mean, like maybe $10. But I mean, like it was like grabbing like cinder blocks and putting them into the oven. You know, cold cinder blocks that
somehow turned into food at the end.
Yeah.
After
and
baking.
Now you can take the leftover mac and cheese and roll them in breadcrumbs and fry them and have like mac and cheese that's balls.
Ooh.
I actually had some for lunch today, but yeah, I was trying to think of what I can do with it. I may kick around the idea of that, coating in breadcrumbs.
I mean, you could probably shove it into just about anything else. Mac and cheese is pretty.
Or you can make them like patties, like latke, because if you don't have like,
I'm gonna go get a little ice, like the little like ice cream scooper. And
there's a
doing that before toss them into the some oil and frying them.
One of the vegan like diner burger joints here. Has they name all their burgers like cutesy names. So they have the Ian McKay, which those of you who don't know, Ian McKay was lead singer of Minor Threat and Fugazi, big punk dude. Anyway, the Ian McKay includes mac and cheese on the burger. So you could always put it on as a burger topping.
The condiment,
What are your favorite like meat alternative patties? We do a lot of Morningstar. Morningstar, is that it? Yeah.
When I'm in the States, Morningstar.
There's a
I find them kind of uninspired. Like it's
yeah,
like,
they are. I, you know, we have never really been super excited about most of the vegan non-meat patties. So frequently I just make them. Like I have like, I don't know, four or five different recipes for various different types of patties. There is one kind that we tried that was all right. That was like, I don't remember the name. It was like Doctor something or other that comes in an old box where they all come in boxes, right? A little square box. It was like four. It's not Morningstar, but it's something else. I will find it because I have some in the freezer, and I'll put it in the show notes. I think that if we're actually trying to do burgers, and I'm not making it, then we'd probably just do Beyond Burgers.
Mm-hmm. Beyond Sausage are okay.
Yeah, I like Beyond Sausage.
But like, also, I haven't had my barometer for like what things are supposed to taste like is wildly off.
Yeah,
because it's been 20 years since I've had it, so I'm yeah. like, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm looking for Katie. You know,
that's for real. We pass by these burger joints that, like, you know, I don't know, pump the smell of the burgers in the air, like, around, so, you know, you can smell it for blocks, and it's like, yeah, that smells good. And like, I don't know, Beyond Burger tastes like that smells, I guess.
I think so. Yeah, I think Beyond Burger is good, but sometimes, like, she doesn't want that. She wants, like,
yeah,
Morningstar does good bacon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have that from time to time. Mm-hmm. And then we did sausage, and we did sausage gravy, because that's like a great dinner. Like, and it turned out okay. The color was off, but whatever.
Yeah. We also, it's not a meat substitute, but we do like dehydrated. I guess, I don't know. It's like baked mushrooms with liquid smoke and stuff. And it kind of, it tastes savory and delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's not like a substitute. It's just good.
Yeah.
It's good for everybody.
I did stuffed mushrooms for the Super Bowl. I did like a bunch of weird stuff. And I thought the mushrooms were great. I can't wait to do more mushrooms, but nobody else really ate them. So.
Yeah, we have a
texture thing though. People are iffy about mushrooms. Oh.
We have a really good breaded stuffed mushrooms recipe.
I will say that you were right on mushrooms, and the place where they like the place where I had mushrooms that really, I'll eat mostly anything, texture doesn't really bother me. The place where I got closest to being like, I can't eat it because of texture was in Guangzhou, China. Some of the mushrooms, they were like they were just so like slimy and like, it was really something, really something.
Yeah. There's some mushrooms that are just like, maybe not. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's not a thing that I want to eat.
Oh yeah. And then when you add like a bunch of like weird sauce on top of it and a bunch of colors that are not normally colors I would eat. Oh yeah. It was a
vermilion.
Yeah. Vermilion, yes. For sure. Yeah. Obviously.
I almost crossed the vermilion border after eating it.
When you think you want to eat something and then you cross the point of no return, that's the vermilion border.
Yes,
it's named also for the color of
your face becomes as you're eating it.
Well, that's a much nicer more visually attractive description of what happens than what I was going to describe.
I think it's blue, actually. Is it blue? It's blue.
Do you want real answers about what
I do now? Yeah, I feel like I know this word, and I feel like blue popped into my head as we were talking about.
So I can tell you vermilion's a color.
Yes.
But it's neither green nor blue.
Great.
It's red.
Solid word. It's like a rust color.
It's like a punchy red. Yeah.
Okay. Punchy red.
Yeah. Spilling that vermilion. I don't
know. I'm looking at swatches and they look bright. They're not like brick dusty. Yeah.
Okay.
So the vermilion border. So then it's the opposite. It's not the border that you can cross. Yes. It's the border that you cannot cross. And that goes along with that point of no return thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you pass the vermilion border, then
I'm just
bad
thinking
news.
About food. I'm so hungry.
Welcome to Binary Jazz, our food podcast.
So what's the actual definition?
Vermilion border. Do you want me to tell you?
I think so.
Okay.
We're a little early, but I'm curious now.
It's the space between where your lips end and then the skin begins.
What?
So, like, if you look really closely at your face, there's a place where your lip distinctly ends.
Super self-conscious of my lips now.
Yeah, it's not, but your skin, it's like a different thing. There's no sweat glands. There's no, it's a different kind of tissue, basically.
Well, I didn't think of that. I never considered that there had to be like a transition point and that it had to have a name, but there, yeah, obviously there must be. It's a point where a lip stops becoming a lip.
So is there, besides that very important signifier and description of what a vermilion border is there some other sort of tangential significance to the vermilion border? Is that like for those of us who wear makeup, is that like a thing, like you have to avoid or like don't cross the, I guess you could cross the vermilion.
You're really into the not crossing.
Well, I mean, you know, like...
Well, no, because some people, so if people say overline their lips, they're often outlining the vermilion border.
Okay. See, I'm not wild. Like, I know there's something there.
Something.
All right. I have some stupid shit. Go ahead, Gary.
I wore this shirt to a meeting at some point recently. And, someone was like, oh, my daughter has the same shirt, and grabbed their like 2-year-old daughter, held her up in like a little sweatshirt with like SpaghettiOs stains on the front and everything. I mean, I don't have SpaghettiOs stains on this one, or I didn't at the time. I don't now either. I need to show that. But it was like a, yeah, that is actually the same shirt.
Matching.
Type moment, yeah. So I put it on this morning and immediately thought of that, was like, all right.
Does that make you not want to wear it, or
it just seemed a little weird, like a very judgmental, like, oh, my daughter has the same
shirt. My daughter has that same shirt. Yeah, like, that is pretty.
Well, I don't like shop. I mean, it's just a generic shirt. It's a like red.
But it's like a baseball tee. Like, this is a common design.
Yeah. So now I'm going to go on Amazon and buy like a bulk pack of ringer tees or something. I don't know.
All right. Pick a number from between 1 and 8.
3.
I heard a 3 and a 7. Okay. 3 + 7 = 10 divided by 2 = 5. That's how we're going to do that.
We didn't, neither of us picked 5.
I know, but or you two. Used 3 and 7 as the difference. There's two of you.
But the difference between 7 and 3 is 4.
Should I do 4? I guess I'll do 4.
That seems like closer to consensus than like.
All right. We'll do 4.
Add up your numbers and divide by whatever I want to pick the one that I chose.
This is a very relevant topic for binary jazz. This is...
What does that even mean?
Means it's space or food.
This is how to add binary numbers.
Oh, no.
With pictures, which obviously...
maybe we should rethink this.
Maybe I should share my screen so that the pictures can be shared. The binary number system works similarly to the base 10 decimal system we are used to using, except that it is base 2, which means it's completely different.
Oh good, we're at Wiki Hell again.
Binary numbers can be added just as decimal numbers, and while the process is familiar, adjusting the base 2 system can make it a confusing endeavor. It is helpful, then, to have a complete understanding of how place value works in the binary number system. All right, there's a picture of, like, breaking the number down into 4 pieces of the 1s and the 2s and the 4s and the 8s, because that's how you do binary. And it says, draw a place value chart with 2 rows and 4 columns. The 1s place, the 2s place, the 4s place, the 8s place. There's also a 16s place and a 32s place because, you know, you're obviously getting this in your head, right? Like, there's, you know, you can go up to 32 digits. 5, yeah, 12, yeah, no worries. Write a random binary number at the bottom row of your chart.
What comes next?
In the binary system, the only digits used are 1 and 0. For example, you might write in the 8th place, one in the 8th place, 1 in the 4th place, 0 in the 2th place, and 1 in the 1s place. I don't know off the top of my head what that is. I guess I would if I looked at it. 8 + 4 = 12 + 1.
Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we make
how
you angry
attract
or something,
a Pisces
Chris?
Man as a Sagittarius woman?
Hey, we can put those on the you know, put them on the list for next time.
That was
what does the cherry
7.
Emoji mean?
These are all new pages, not
how
featured.
To teach your pet not to be scared of the vacuum cleaner.
Wait, what? Where's that?
It's at the very top.
Oh, yeah. Juniper isn't scared. She just wants to attack it. Step three, interpret the ones place.
Are they, is this like the same image every time? Oh, no, they're actually, okay, they're all right. Okay,
they're changing it.
I'm still distracted. What does it mean when he texts you good morning every day?
How to dry your clothes quickly.
For example, in the binary number 1101, there is a one in the ones place. So the value is of that number is one, obviously, because it's the one place, right? That's the counting up to one is the easiest number to count to in binary. I'll say that.
No, I would say zero is.
Okay. That's not really counting if it's zero, but okay. Step four, interpret the twos place. If there's a zero in the twos place, the value is zero. Right? Got it? If there's a one in the twos place, the value is two. Wait, if there's a one, the value is two? What are we talking about?
How many steps are there?
There's like 12.
Oh my God.
I just assumed that we were going to scroll down and hit like four. A multi-scroll advertisement or something and be able to get closer to the end. But
step five, interpret the fours place. Step six, interpret the eights place. Step seven, part two. Oh, whoa.
What's interesting is that they're holding a WikiHow pin.
Part two, adding binary numbers using place value. Set up the problem vertically and add the digits in the ones place. This is what I do every week when I figure out what the episode is. But it's easy because I just add.
But more. We should stop it because this is madness.
So this is episode. No, that's not the right one. 10011010, which is one more than the last episode of 10011001. I don't know what those are.
Let's do. Okay. Nobody wants to do that. I was gonna say we can figure out what it is, but I don't even actually want to do that. And I love that kind of stuff. This WikiHow article has made me so bored with binary, and it's actually very exciting and fun. But what I'm wondering about is obviously there's like, it's binary. We could do base 3. We're used to base 10. There's hexadecimal, which is base 16. Are there counting systems that are like I want like base 0.5.
You don't.
If you saw 3.5, it would actually be 7.
No.
Yes.
No.
Can you imagine that in the context of...
Set the problem vertically and add the digits in the ones place. Since you're only adding two digits, the possible sum is either 0, 1, or 2.
Using
wait, how could there be 2 in binary?
There's not. You carry the 1. It becomes a 0 and you carry the 1.
Yeah, you carry the 1.
Yeah.
Add the digits in the twos place. Add the digits in the fours place.
And then the phrase
keep adding digits in place value until you reach your final
base 10. That's like a big deal. Is an order of magnitude something that can be applied in binary? Like, if it's an order of magnitude in binary, like, who cares?
I mean, who cares for a lot of things.
Part three: adding multiple binary numbers by pairing ones. Okay.
Are pears the best canned fruit? What's the best canned fruit?
So the community Q&A. What is the basic addition? Is one of the questions.
This person's just basically succinctly.
This person just read the entire article and still like
in
what?
One line. This is me. Why do we need binary numbers?
How do I solve 1111 plus 1111 plus 1111? You read the article and how to do it.
Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah, it's like we've done something wrong. Like we've hurt you somehow.
Like I thought when we started this, this is going to be like a short little thing.
Why do we need binary numbers? Yeah, okay. All right,
this I'm done. No answer. Just keep going.
Because this is valuable content for our listener.
I'm so sorry,
are you getting
dear
paid
listener.
By WikiHow? Is that the deal?
No.
Are you in the WikiHow staff or something now?
No, no, I'm not. But yes. I can put the how to attract Sagittarius man to the to get to later bio. if that is a request.
I don't think that it is.
What does it mean? Wait, it says how to, what does it, oh no, but how to is the type, I guess. What does it mean when he texts you good morning every day?
It means he's wishing you good morning. Like, let's call it.
Don't read too much into it.
Guys send good morning text when they like you. A guy might text first thing to let you know you're on his mind.
His face, we're both like.
I mean, I've said good morning to many people that I don't actually like.
Yeah, same.
Is it good to text every day?
What?
Tips for texting him back. Tell him how happy you are to hear from him.
Type, enter, done.
Tell him you hope he has a great day. These are really tame.
But what if you don't hope he has a good day?
I think you should be honest. I hope that you have a miserable day. Incidentally, you can stop reading the WikiHow article tomorrow when he doesn't text you. Have a good day.
Stop texting me good morning. I hope you have a horrible day.
So the thing that you did not get to see, which would have been number five, was how to be weird. So because you chose number five or number four as the difference between seven and three, we didn't do how to be weird.
We've got that covered. We wrote that article.
Yeah, I don't believe that WikiHow can bring anything to the table here for me.
I think that it's always good to learn new things that WikiHow is here to tell us all about.
Like binary addition?
Hey, our listener!
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Special thanks to Serpiente Negra Ensemble for the use of their tracks for our intro and outro music. You can find them online at serpientenegra.bandcamp.com. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.